Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tom Lounges. It's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music, the arts, theater, books, you name it. We cover it right here every Friday afternoon on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. My guest today has been on the program before. In fact, it's become kind of a tradition to have her here to talk about all the wonderful theater work that's being done at Theater at the Center. Well, I don't know if you know it, but it's celebrating its 30th anniversary this coming year in 2020. Can you believe it? Theater at the Center, Northwest Indiana's only professional theater, 30 years old, and still, some people don't realize it's there. So hopefully, you'll be telling people about the wonderful programs that will be performing there. Great productions like Almost Heaven, Tally's Fowl, Hello Dahlia, classic, and of course, looking next season, Elf the Musical. And here to talk with us about it is the lady herself who's bringing these shows to Theater at the Center. It's Artistic Director Linda Fortunato. Hello, Linda.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
You have got some real winners here. I'm excited about the John Denver, obviously, because I'm a music guy. But Hello Dolly is so timeless.
It's a classic, yes. And it's one that hasn't been done at the theater for a while. And it's one that audiences ask for a lot.
Really? Now, we're going to play some of the cuts. We're going to talk about some of this. Because the audiences are changing. The audiences that were there when Hello Dolly, for instance, was in vogue, and some of the big musicals, the Oklahomas, the standards, as you would call them, they're dying off. They're getting older. They're not going out. But the younger kids are coming up. Are they embracing the old favorites?
Yes, I think they are. And I think that that's been really fun to introduce some of these classics to new audiences. For example, we just closed a production of The Pajama Game, which is a classic American musical. And there were so many people that said, I've never seen this show before. I'm so excited to see this show for the first time. I don't know. I think a lot more people will have seen Hello Dolly. But I do think
in high school.
Exactly. But I do think that's a really fun thing about doing these classics is for a lot of people, it's revisiting them. It's remembering them, but also introducing them to some new audiences as well.
Now, you've got some contemporary stuff. Elf the Musical, which we'll talk about, is coming at the end of next year for next Christmas. That's contemporary. What is Tally's Fowl? Well, you know, let's go in order.
Okay.
We're going to start things off. Again, we are talking about the 2020 season, the 30th anniversary season at Theater at the Center. And that is, if my memory serves me, 1040 Ridge Road?
Perfect.
1040 Ridge Road in Munster. And great sight lines, great audio there. The acoustics are wonderful. Not a bad seat in the house. The theater, for those who have never been there, is kind of semicircle. Would
exactly.
that be the best way to describe it?
Yes, it's considered a thrust theater, but a semicircle is the best way to describe
okay.
it.
Okay, so it's not quite theater in the round, but it's close.
It's close, yeah. And speaking of close, it means that every seat is closer to the audience than if it were in a different configuration. The furthest seat is only 8 rows away from the stage.
Wow. And unlike Chicago, you don't have to pay for parking. There is plenty of parking there.
Plenty of free parking.
That's something you got to underscore, because this is equity theater. That means this is professional theater. The same actors you're going to see in Chicago's big rooms are coming here to Northwest Indiana to do these shows with a cheaper ticket price, I might add.
True.
And parking is included.
Yes. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. The actors who are on our stage have performed all over Chicago. They've been in national tours. They've been on Broadway. So there's no compromise in the quality of the talent that you're going to see on stage.
I hear, before we get into the season, I hear from all the actors that we talk with here on the show and that I've interviewed for the Times, when I ask about you, they say that you are an engaging director that allows them to feedback, whereas a lot of directors are like, it's my way or the highway. You know, I'm the director for a reason.
True.
And I hear that from everyone I've talked to, including the cast of Pajama Game that
oh,
we just
thank
had.
Thank you.
They said, yeah, Linda's great. She has her ideas and she knows what she wants, but she's willing to listen and she's willing to guide and she's willing to give you a break if you screw up.
Well, and it's true. And I think that the reason that we do theater is that theater is a collaborative art. It's not a solo performance. Why hire all of these amazing actors if you're not going to listen to them?
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, have my ideas of what I want, but I always think there's compromise involved. And I think that if you put two heads together, you're often going to get a better idea than if you're solo.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's part of the joy of doing theater is being able to create it together.
Now, you also are an actor yourself.
It's true.
You came up through the ranks and earned your right to be a director. And as an actor, what kind of empathy do you have with your cast?
That's a really good question. I think part of it is as you say, understanding that there's a voice that is worth listening to. Mm-hmm. That you like I said, you hire those people for a reason, and you want them in the room. And I think one of the biggest things that affects me as a director from my acting experience is efficiency and organization. I spent a lot of hours in rehearsal waiting for people to decide what they wanted to do or figure out what was next on the schedule. And that happens from time to time. But so I hate when people have to wait for me. Mm-hmm. Of course, it happens inevitably, but I want the time of rehearsal to be used efficiently and to be used for the creative process, not for, what should we do now?
Right, right. Okay. Casting. You have always, in my opinion, picked perfect people for the perfect roles.
Thank you.
I know that there are a lot of people vying for those roles. How do you decide who's right for the role? Some are obvious, I'm sure. But there are some where there's three people that would be good. What do you do? Flip a coin? How do you do it?
Sometimes, like you say, it's really easy. Sometimes it's really hard. And I will tell you, it never comes down to that person is better. There are so many amazing people. It's never about who's the best. It's about who's the best fit, perhaps, for a show. Or if you're casting a romantic couple, who are the two people that fit together?
That have the chemistry.
Right. Have the chemistry. Have maybe the ages are similar, or their style is similar. Their voices will blend. So it's not only just who's the best for each. I just said best, even though it's not best. Who's the best fit? Not the best as talent-wise, but who's the best fit for each place? But then how does the puzzle fit together? Mm-hmm. There have been many times that instantly I'll know, yes, that's the person. And there's many times it'll be down to two or three people, and I have to sleep on it for a couple days. And I'll go back and, especially if I have two people and I love them both and I love them for different reasons, I'll go back and read the play imagining one actor, and then I'll go back and I'll read the play again imagining the other actor.
So you put a lot of work into these too.
Yes, absolutely.
This isn't you're at the top of the ivory tower looking down and bestowing all these wonderful roles. You actually work as hard as they do or harder.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the season. Sure. 2020 season starts off, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows in this season. And they all run, about a month?
Five or six weeks.
Mm-hmm. We start off with something that's unique. At first, I thought this was a Michael Ingersoll show because Michael does this wonderful series of tributes to different legendary music people. This one's called Almost Heaven, John Denver's America, and it's the first one of the season. February 13th, it kicks off. It's described as music by John Denver and others written and adapted by Peter Glazier. What is this show? Is it a tribute concert? Is it a life story? Is it a one-man show? I'm confused by this, but I'm fascinated by it.
It's a little bit of everything. It is a tribute show. It's a cast of 5 people, plus musicians. Some of the actors are also the musicians. And it looks at puts together over 20 of John Denver's songs. And it does follow it does chronologically follow his career. One of the 5 actors does represent John Denver.
Okay.
And so it's looking at many of his songs, going through the trajectory of his career, some of them sung in a slightly different style, giving a little bit of history of his career and as the subtitle, John Denver's America, and what was happening in the country that influenced his writing and his work.
Okay, let's play John himself right now, and we'll come back and we'll talk more with Linda about the rest of the season.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there. Older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads.
taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye, country road, take me home to the place.
The greatest singer-songwriters of the 20th century, in my humble opinion, when it comes to American music and Americana. Everyone's talking the term Americana these days. It kind of, he was in the center of it during the 1970s. Great songs like that one, Country Roads, Rocky Mountain High, Annie Song, Sunshine on My Shoulders, Leaving on a Jet Plane, which a lot of people forget he wrote. John Denver, Almost Heaven, a five-person musical tribute, I guess you'd call it. Now, they take a little dramatic license, correct, Linda, with this?
It's all true to John's life, but yes, there are a few fictional people created to help tell the story.
Okay, and the guy who's playing John, is this show, did it come to you packaged, or is this something you cast?
This is something that we will cast, actually. We are having our auditions next week, so I can't tell you more than that
right now.
But I promise you, they're going to be terrific.
And it's interesting because, obviously, he's going to be playing guitar and singing in this show, because mm-hmm. that's part of the thing you do. You cast people that actually can do the music, if
right.
it's a musical role. But the thing that I like the most about Theater at the Center, that you don't see at community theater or Theater in the Park or anything else in Northwest Indiana, is the fact that you have some amazing musicians, whether they're on stage or hidden behind the scene or
right.
in the pit. Sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't, but they're always there and are always creating music live in the moment.
Yes, and that is really important to us, that yes, you can do theater to a recorded track.
Mm-hmm. And most do, because it's affordable.
Exactly. But the thing about live theater versus television or film is that it's live, that it breathes, that the performance, although the performance is the same every day, you know, everybody hits the same marks mm-hmm. and says the same words, but based on audience response, based on the reaction in the room, things breathe a little bit, and they flow. And so when you have live musicians playing with you, there's space for that. You're not connected to a track that has to be the same every day.
Now, do they play off charts? Is that how it works?
We get full scores from
okay.
all of the license companies, and we get a giant box of books for each instrument.
So those guys are working just as hard as the cast.
They sure are.
Wow. And the thing that amazed me, I have to keep going back. If you go to theater in Chicago, you're spending so much money on tickets, and then you got to pay for parking, and you get a tip to valet, and on and on and on. Here, it's all contained in a very reasonable price ticket.
Yes, it's all right there.
How do you do it? I mean, how do you present the same kind of show that you're going to pay three times as much in Chicago here in Northwest Indiana?
Well, we are very mindful of our budgets and of making the money work in the best way possible. That we might not have all the bells and whistles of special effects. Mm-hmm. Our sets don't magically come on and off stage by motors like they do if you go to a national tour downtown. We have to push ours on wheels. But I think that really investing in the talent of the actors, of the musicians, of the designers to get a top rate product is really what works.
And that's something I want to touch on too. You're talking about talent. The theater's sets are amazing.
Yes.
I mean, whoever's doing the actual production of the sets, Wonderful Life, for instance, and things like that. I mean, the sets, you feel like you're in that town or in that scene or in that building. How do you do that?
Well, we are very lucky. Ann Davis is our head of production, and she is in charge of all things technical. We have different set designers for almost every show. We have several set designers that work with us that have learned our space and know how to really transform our space. That's one of my favorite things from show to show, walking in the room, and it feels completely different.
Yeah, it's like a new place every time you go to work.
Which is really exciting. And so so those designers then hand over the plan to Anne, who, like I said, is our head of production, and she draws everything up, and we have a fantastic scene shop. Not many theaters our size have their own scene shop and costume shop. We have both, and so that really gives us a lot of flexibility as far as what we can create.
All right. Next up, we got Tally's Folly. Of course, Almost Heaven, the John Denver production we're talking about, runs through March 22nd. So February 13th through March 22nd. And again, you can get all the information at theaterthecenter. Is it .com or .org?
.com.
.com. And tickets available, more information if you have questions. Tally's Folly. I've never heard of this. It is a two-person play. And it's a rom-com. It's no music involved, as I understand. We're talking about you as an actor. You are in the lead along with your husband, who I still say was the best I've ever seen in Cabaret.
Oh.
He was awesome in Cabaret.
He was really wonderful in that, yes.
That was his role. He was born for that role. So how's he going to do with this? What is this all about?
So Tally's Folly is a lovely play. Anyone I've mentioned it to that knows the play says, oh, I love that play. And not a lot of people know it. And that's part of the excitement we were talking about earlier, introducing people to new things.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Lanford Wilson. It was on Broadway in 1980. It actually won the Pulitzer Prize for drama that year. So it's good. It's got the stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we have David New is the director of that play, and he's been friends with us for many years, and he called me about a year ago and said, as a director, there are plays that you read and you just can't stop thinking about them. And he said, I've been thinking about this play for years. I really want to direct the two of you in it. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I want to do it. And I'd never read the play. I knew of it. And I read it and I loved it and called him back and said, we're going to figure out how to do this.
So you and Sean have been together for a while. You're both actors. What's it like to work with your husband on stage in another character role? I mean, you live a life together, and then all of a sudden you're strangers on stage as two different complete characters. How hard is it to work with someone that you're that close with?
I actually think it's great because there's already a trust there, we both respect each other as performers, and so I so admire him as an actor. To be able to play scenes with him is very enjoyable. And I will tell you, the first time we ever worked together, we played opposite each other in a very silly musical. And about 2 weeks into the process, we confessed to each other that we were really nervous about working together because we do know couples that don't like to work together. And we had been together a couple of years, and we thought, uh-oh, I hope this goes okay. And we discovered that, yes, we really do love working together. And
cool.
we've been lucky enough to play opposite each other several times.
Now, did you guys meet in theater? Is that how you met?
We met, actually, I was working an administrative job in theater, and he was an actor.
Okay.
So it was in the theater, but not performing together.
Interesting. Now, again, you mentioned an outside director coming in.
Yes.
You have to take off your director's hat and become an actor again. And basically, I hate to use the word subservient, but you have to answer to the director, and you're mm-hmm. used to calling the shots. So how do you transition that way smoothly?
Oh, it's a relief. I don't have to make all those decisions. no, I'm just kidding. Well, I think that it will be really fun for me because I haven't been acting as frequently since I've been the artistic director at Theater at the Center, and it's definitely a passion and something I'm very excited to switch gears and be able to do that. And David is such a wonderful director that both Sean and I admire and trust. And I'm really excited for the three of us to be able to create this show together. And it's a really beautiful story of two. Our press all says two unlikely sweethearts. I found a great quote about the play that said it's a love story between an apple and an orange, and it's two people that you would never expect to be together, but you see them really finding strength and support in each other.
Is it contemporary or is it a period piece?
It takes place in the 1940s.
Okay. Okay, you have a tendency to do a lot of the older mm-hmm. period pieces. The Sinatra was very cabaret, cafe kind of stuff. I mean, some of the things you've done, The Wonderful Life, they all really adhere and take us back to a time when things were simpler and maybe more innocent,
right,
as opposed to some of the harder edge plays out there today. Is that intentional, or is it just that you like the plays of that era?
I think the plays of the 40s and 50s, not only written them, but also set them. I mean, there's just such a plethora, I guess. There's just so many wonderful shows of that era. It was mm-hmm. just such a wonderful time for American theater. But I also think our audiences really respond to shows from that period.
I love them because you escape back to a time,
right,
you know, of our parents, of our grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of get a feel for what it was like.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's amazing to me how many stories and lessons from that period are still so relevant today. So
mm-hmm.
so many issues, and I don't mean that dramatically, but even,
right,
you know, just things between people and in the world are still relevant today, even though they're not from now.
Okay. Tally's Folly runs from April 30th to May 31st. And again, it is a two-person drama. Linda and her husband, Sean, will be the characters in that. And you can find more information, again, at theatercenter.com. Our next one, talking about period pieces, we're going to give you a song from it. And this is off the Broadway cast recording. I believe it was Nell Carter that did the role on this. And it's a little bit lengthy. It's about 4 minutes long. But I think you'll enjoy it. It's got that old vaudeville kind of sound because it takes place in the 20s and 30s. This is the Broadway cast of Ain't Misbehavin', an old Fats Waller musical. We'll be talking to Lynn about why it's coming to Munster.
I used to travel
Ain't misbehaving. Sadly, I can't say that about Jose, my engineer. He's always getting in trouble. But just kidding. That is Nell Carter. And thank you, Jose, for playing that song for us. I enjoyed that. That's an old 1920s and 30s. If you remember Fats Waller, he's a great piano man back in that time. Barrel House piano. And Ain't Misbehaving is another throwback. And it's a little racy. It's a cool... I don't know how to describe that show. It definitely takes us back to a different era, but also a different culture.
Yes.
And Ain't Misbehavin' is a unique choice. I would not have thought that would have been a prime choice because it is so different. And why did you pick that?
It's such great music, and it's a style of music that we don't often have on our stage. Mm-hmm. And I always, in choosing a season, try to find variety of, we were talking a little bit ago about time periods, try to find variety of time periods, variety of subject matter, and variety of musical styles. And such great musical gems in this song, or in this show, that we don't often hear. And Fats Waller wrote so many songs that are so loved, but also he performed a lot of other people's songs mm-hmm. and made them famous. And this show is a combination of the two. And his music influenced so many people that came after him that it's fun to look back at these songs that influenced music even that's happening today.
This is a Tony Award-winning musical as well. Has it played at your venue? I haven't seen this play anywhere lately. It's been years.
There were a couple productions. There was a production in Chicago a couple years ago that ran for a few, very, very successfully ran for a while. It hasn't ever played Theater at the Center. It, as you say, yes, it did win in 1978. It won the Tony Award for Best Musical.
I think that was the song we just played from. I think that was
from that cast. Yes. And it is a musical review, and musical reviews don't often win Best Musical. So that shows that it really is a great piece of theater.
Now, that is a time, a period piece. Now, let's talk about costuming.
Yes.
You guys, in addition to the sets that work amazingly with what you're doing, you have great costumes.
Yes.
Going back to the Million Dollar Quartet or whatever you're doing, the actors look the part. The Sinatra was perfect. Mm-hmm. The lady at the bar with the martini. I mean, you believe you're in that period, in that room with them, because the costuming says as much as the staging, as the actors. It all works together in tandem to make you transport there. Who does your costuming and how detailed? I mean, are they made for the actors? Are they?
It's a combination. Brenda Winstead designs most of our shows, and she is fantastic. And we do have a combination of things that are pulled from our stock, of things that we own and have used before and maybe mm-hmm. are altered or adjusted in a way. We do also shop things. If it's a contemporary show, obviously we can just go out shopping, but right. also a lot of vintage shopping. And we do build things as well. So when there is a specific need or something that is designed that we just can't find what we want out in the world, we will build things as well, specifically for the actors.
Okay.
And it starts with every area of production. It starts with research of, you know, clothes from the period, the look of the period, the feel of the period, colors, textures, and then from there deciding this is what was authentic to the period. Now how does this work in theater? Mm-hmm. And then devising the looks from there.
So you have an actual, I don't want to say warehouse, but like an area that you have your own costuming stored?
We do. Yeah, we do have costume storage on site at the theater.
And an in-house seamstress?
We have an in-house costume shop.
Okay.
So we have a designer, a costume shop manager. We bring stitchers in for each show. Depending on the size of the show, it's the number of people on the crew that come in to create everything that you see.
I think listeners, we have to let our head explode for a moment here to realize how much goes into one production. All the hands, all the people, all the fingerprints that are on these productions. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, it's a director and a cast, but all the behind the scenes people. As I always liked when, you know, in the old days, you'd see Betty Davis or somebody up there. I'd like to thank all the little people. You know, they're not little people. They're as important as the people on stage.
It's
true. Important that theater has recognized that. A lot of the actors used to be like, well, it's all about me or us. And they didn't really acknowledge, but now everybody seems to be getting the credit they're due.
Yes.
And that's in the films, too. You sit at the end and you see all those movies and those names go by. It's like, oh, my God. There's right. like 10 million people involved here. But you got to give credit where credit's due.
Well, and if you take a look at your program the next time you come to the theater, all of those people who work on the show are listed in the program. So you can see all the names of all the work that went into what you ultimately see on stage.
Hmm. Now, we've talked about Almost Heaven. If you just joined us, you're listening to Midwest Beat on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. Linda Fortunato is our guest. She is the artistic director at Theater at the Center. More information at theaterthecenter.com on anything and everything we're talking about. Beautiful venue, right on Ridge Road, 1040 Ridge Road. And five shows in 2020 coming. And Almost Heaven, John Denver, kicks it off February 13th. Tally's Folly, in which Linda and Sean, her husband, will be performing a two-person show. Tally's Folly is April 30th, kicks off. Ain't Misbehavin', the Fats Waller musical, July 9th. And then we come to the old standard that everybody loves, and that is Hello, Dolly. One of those, they're like a war horse. There's certain shows you can do over and over and you don't get tired of. I think Hello, Dolly's one of them. And again, it's a period piece.
Yes, takes place in the 1890s.
So there's a lot of costuming there.
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be very exciting. And as you say, it can be done over and over. It's the Hello, Dolly has had more Broadway revivals than any other show. So you're not the only one that feels that way.
Yeah.
It's we all agree it's worth seeing again.
Why did you choose Hello, Dolly? What does it mean to you? What does that play mean to you? Since it is a favorite among others, as an actor, as a director, as a theater fan, why does that particular production speak to you?
The thing about Hello, Dolly that I love is that there's so many different characters that fit so beautifully in that one story, and that Dolly's mission is to make everybody happy. And she doesn't do it in the same way for all of the people, mm-hmm. but ultimately she does it. And that's just something so refreshing to be able to see in this day and age. Of course, there's conflict, because right. in any good story there has to be conflict, but her goal is to make people happy.
So she is basically pre-dating services. She is a matchmaker.
She's a matchmaker, yes.
So she would take the lonely widow man over there and match him with this person there. And was that really an occupation back then?
It really was, yeah. I mean, if you think like back to Fiddler on the Roof, that there's a matchmaker in that story too.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Hello, Dolly is based on a play called The Matchmaker. It was a play first before it was turned into a musical.
Wow. Now, a lot of people have played Dolly.
Yes.
Iconic people. We're going to play Carol Channing in just a moment here, doing the title track. Barbara Streisand, of course, it was in the film.
In the movie. Mm-hmm.
How do you find an actor for such an iconic role? I mean, certain plays, we don't have that image in our head.
Right.
That's got to be extra challenging for the actor that you cast, or any local director casts, to be able to say, how are you going to make me forget Carol Channing? How are you going to make me forget Barbara Streisand or another actor of big proportions like a Bette Midler? I mean,
right?
They're over the top.
Yes, Pearl Bailey, Phyllis Diller,
Bernadette
Ethel
Peters.
Merman. Yes, so
I mean,
many
they're
people.
Iconic. I mean, and they own that role. They will always own that role. Dolly will always be Carol Channing to me.
Yes.
Barbara's okay, but Carol Channing, you know, we just lost her about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what an amazing talent. You will always be Hello, Dolly. How does this actress that you're going to cast, how do you coach her to say, you got to make it your own? How does she put her own fingerprints?
Well, I'll tell you, this role, actually, I'm thrilled to tell you that we have Ife Butler playing this role. If you've seen Ife Butler on stage before, you know she is up to the task. If you have not, I am so excited to tell you. She is fantastic. She is a force of nature. She has such a strength about her, a presence, an incredible voice, a kindness. She's just someone you can't take your eyes off of on stage.
Hmm. And she has obviously played shows with you before because you seem to be a big fan.
I'm a very big fan. This is actually going to be her first time at Theater at the Center.
Really?
I've been watching and admiring her work for many years in Chicago. She and I were in a show or two together many years ago, but this will be our first time working in this relationship.
Has she done Dolly before?
She has done Dolly, but I believe the last time was, I know it was more than 20 years ago.
All right. Well, let's play Carol Channing in the iconic role. And again, we didn't do Streisand from the musical. I wanted you to hear what the play sounds like, what the musical sounds like with the cast behind her. And just picture this. Close your eyes, unless, of course, you're driving. And listen to this. And just imagine the great Carol Channing doing this. And then come see it in September when it's in Munster.
Swell, Manny, I can tell. Danny, you're still glowing, you're still crowing, you're still going strong. I feel the room swaying for the band's playing one of my old favorite songs from way back when. So bridge that gap, fellas, find me an empty lap, fellas, darling, I'll never go away again. Of 14th Street and into my personal haze. But now that I'm back in the lights of 14th Street, tomorrow will be brighter than the good old days. Thank my lucky star.
Your lucky star.
You're looking great, Stanley. Lose some weight, Stanley. Dolly's overjoyed and overwhelmed and overpowered.
I hear the
find me a vacant knee, fellas.
Darling, you'll never go away again.
the old girl now, fellas.
And the old girl has been revived, fresh off Broadway, touring, and, of course, a great regional production here. Hello, Dolly, at Theater at the Center, 1040 Ridge Road in Munster, Indiana. Get details on it at www.theateratthecenter.com. And Ife Butler, you got your work cut out for you. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Make me forget Carol Channing for a few minutes there. I will applaud. Our guest is Linda Fortunato. She is the artistic director of Theater at the Center. We have a few minutes left, and we have one more play to get to, musical to get to on the 2020 season. And again, I'm imagining you have package deals if they want to buy all season passes.
We do. You can become a subscriber to get all five shows at a discount. And the great thing is, if you're a subscriber and you think, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in November of 2020, right. As a subscriber, you're allowed to change the dates of your tickets if you have a conflict come up, which is a really great perk.
So out of 4 or 5 weeks or 6 weeks of a run, you can pick whatever you need.
Exactly.
Okay. Unless it's sold out, of course.
Well, yes.
Then you got to wait in line. And the other thing, too, before we get to the final one, which is Elf the Musical, I noticed there's notes here that there are dinner theater packages, too. So is that every show or certain shows?
So once for every show on a Thursday night, we do a Thursday night show, and there's a dinner package available before the show, and there's always a great event surrounding that, which you might be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always games and vendors and a theme for that dinner that you can pair with the show on a Thursday night.
Okay. What is Talkback Event? That's something I don't remember seeing before.
Yeah, so Talkback Event, we do two of those for each show. And after the performance, if you want to stick around for a few minutes, members of the cast will come out and have a discussion with the audience.
Is that new?
Nope, we've been doing that for a long time.
I somehow have missed that in past seasons.
Yeah,
I got to stick around for the right shows.
Those are really fun, and the actors love to have a moment to connect with the audience, and will answer any questions that the audience has.
All right, and the final production is Elf the Musical, and I am not familiar with Elf. I know the movie is out there. I've never seen it. I know it's a cult classic, but I didn't know that they made a musical out of it. I didn't think it was that popular.
Yes. The movie was in 2003, starring Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2010, they made a musical version of it. And it's the fun thing about it is it sticks very, very closely to the plot of the movie, just added musical numbers.
Okay. Now, how did they... Oh, I see. Matthew Sklar and lyrics by Chad Begaylin?
I'm not sure.
Okay, looks like it.
Sorry, Chad, we don't know how to pronounce your name.
So they actually took the script and just wrote songs for it?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, it's adapted from the screenplay for the stage, but then there are songs woven into the story.
Now, has this done any awards? Won any awards? Is this a Broadway play, or is this off-Broadway, or what
this
is
did,
this?
This did play Broadway in 2010, the holiday season,
okay.
And then it was revived in the 2012 holiday season, and there was a national tour, and it played in London, and now it's available for regional productions.
Wow. We've got a song from that cast. In just a moment, we'll play that. But what exactly, I mean, you've always done traditional Christmas shows. White Christmas
right. Is
coming up, Wonderful Life. This one is a little out there as far as the traditional.
Right.
This is comedy.
It is comedy, but as you say, I think you used the word cult following for the film. But I think in a way this has become a modern day Christmas classic film. I think it's, you know, obviously a different era from White Christmas and Wonderful Life, but I think that for a lot of people this has become required annual Christmas viewing. And so I think that there are a lot of people that will know the film and it is part of their Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people who maybe haven't seen the film will be in for a real treat because it's very funny. The premise is, if you haven't seen the movie, a human who accidentally made his way to the North Pole is raised by elves, and when he's an adult finally realizes that he's human and not an elf and goes to New York City to find his family.
Is this a large cast? I would think it would be.
It's going to probably be around 17, 18 people, okay. which is one of the larger casts for us for the size of our stage.
So for Hello Dolly, for instance, how many people in that cast?
Probably about the same,
about
17,
the same?
18.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's play the song. We may not get to all of it, and then we're going to come back with Linda a final time to kind of recap some of the stuff. So let's play this now. This is Elf the Musical, Sparkle Jolly Twinkle Jingly.
There's a saying we have up north that helps us put our best foot forth. If you want to deck the halls for Mr. C, make sure they're sparkle jolly twinkle jingly.
What the heck is that supposed to mean?
Just more the usual home office bug, Dick.
When a room is gloomy and its atmosphere has called it quits, then you must remember that December is a time for glitz. Never stop until each limb on your Christmas tree is sparkle jolly twinkle jingly. Pick up every ornament that's sitting waiting on a shelf. While you're busy decorating, why not decorate yourself? Soon you'll bring a smile to every person you see.
I'm sparkle, twinkle, jolly, what?
Close enough! And if you're at a loss, remember the phrase that says to thine own elf be true.
To thine own elf be true.
For when it comes to Christmas displays, look inside and you'll know what to do.
You'll know just what to do. Put some cheery folderol on every wall and every nook. Tinsel up each corner till it's Christmas everywhere you look. Give the world a holiday that's bright as can be. Make it sparkle, jolly, twinkle, jingly.
Feeling all sparkly, jolly, twinkly, and jingly. That is from Elf the Musical, which will be on stage at Theater at the Center November 12th of 2020. That's a year away. So don't be running over there right now for this holiday season, because they've got another show we're going to talk about, another classic, as you will. Just want to say that all of these shows we've talked about are now on sale.
Now
on sale. Theater packages.
You can buy the package is on sale now. Yep. For all five shows.
Almost Heaven, John Denver's America, February 13th. It starts. Tolly's Folly, April 30th. Ain't Misbehavin', the Fats Waller Musical, July 9th. Hello, Dolly, on September 10th. And Elf the Musical, November 12th. Five shows, and you can get them all individually or as a package. Also want to acknowledge, before we do our final push here for theater, that Theater at the Center also has some great musical shows, and everybody knows that I'm all about music. We've got Kashmir on January 11th, Echoes of Pompeii, good friends of mine, on January 24th, Creole Stomp. Gotta love these guys. We've had them on the show before. We'll probably have them again. Creole Stomp brings the Mardi Gras to the town on March 27th. The Purdue Varsity Glee Club, March 29th. Lovesick Blues, Hank Williams Sr., a tribute to him on June 6th. Buddy Holly tribute with Zachary Stevenson from the Million Dollar Quartet, January 18th. Switchback, our old friends here at the show. Martin's going to be here, and we'll talk about that as well. But that is happening on March 8th. Waco Brothers Alternative Country, March 28th. And then Stevie Wonder comes to life on stage in the presentation by John Mark McKenna. I'm not sure how to say that. John Mark McGonagh. He looks good, though, on the slide and the program here. And then, of course, a show I've got my fingers on, and that is Joseph Mojo Morganfield, a regular here on the show with the Manish Boys and Wayne Baker Brooks teaming up for a double headline. That's just some of the stuff in between all these great musicals that we have talked about. So just look at the 2020 season. There's no reason to go anywhere. And Linda, I got to say, you and Richard and everybody over Phil, all the folks at the theater, you know, we lost the Star Plaza Theater a couple years ago, and there was a big gap, and you have done more than your share to pick up the slack. You're bringing great shows to town.
Well, thanks. We're having a great time doing it, and there's such a variety of just those things you listed. There's something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't been to us before, please come check us out. I think you'll love the venue, the convenience, the free parking, as mm-hmm. we were talking about earlier. Come for one and stay for the whole season.
There's a great gift shop there. There is a cash bar
yes.
at all the shows. That's something a lot of people want to know about, so you can get a full bar
Friday and Saturday nights.
Okay. We have just a minute or two left. Tell us about what's coming up next, because it is Christmas season and you are doing a traditional show, one you said you had a hard time getting at first.
It's true. White Christmas, it's a show we've been trying to bring to the theater for several years and haven't been able to get the rights, but this was the year. So we do have White Christmas. It's going to start on November 14th and play through December 22nd. And that is this year. You don't have to wait till next year for this one.
All right. And that starts when again?
November 14th.
That's just around the corner here. So what's playing right now? Is there anything on stage?
So we're in between our main stage shows right now, but we do still have special events happening. We have an Elvis tribute concert coming up next weekend, and there's a comedy night, and Phil Potempa is doing his From the Farm cooking show. Yes, he's got one next weekend. So go to theateratthecenter.com to see all of the offerings.
And again, you can call the box office for more information, too, at 219-836-3255. 219-836-3255. Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
I
do appreciate having you down here, and it's always a pleasure when you stop and visit.
We'll see you soon.
We'll probably have some of your actors come down, if that's okay. We'll steal them away from you.
Absolutely.
Have them do a little performing or talking, get to know them a little better. I'd really like to get the young lady from Hello, Dolly down here as well. I think that would be fun. You've enamored me with her already, Ife Butler. Maybe we can make that happen. All right, we are out of here. I'm Tom Lounges. This has been Midwest Beat. Thank you for listening and supporting Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial. Tom Lounges, you are listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM. This is Midwest Beat. It's a show all about the arts, about music, about books, about theater. And today we're going to cover a little bit of everything. That's right. I've got Grant Fitch in here and Michael Massengill. And Michael is the owner and proprietor in Hobart, Indiana. And he has the Green Door Bookstore, in which Grant is going to be gracing the threshold there to create a little bit of magical mystery imagination. On Saturday, he will be portraying the works of Edgar Allan Poe, one of my personal favorites. And we're going to get to know Grant and Michael, and we're going to hear about Grant's history as an actor, and we're going to hear about Michael and his little shop of...
A little shop of horrors.
Little shop of horrors, sort of, because it's a little bit on the dark side, some of the things they do. But let's open things up, as we often do here at Midwest Beat, by letting the music do the talking. Early Alan Parsons and his treatment of interpreting Edgar Allan Poe. This is The Raven, and we'll hear the actual poem from Grant in just a moment. Stay with us, turn off the lights, and grab somebody close. It's going to be very scary.
cool.